Ladies and gentlemen, the hiatus is over. Real Housewives of New Jersey is back, and we are here with episode 1, Shady Beach. Let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Listen. We thought this was appropriate because the cake is here. And we are celebrating Melissa Gorga's birthday in the first episode of The Real Housewives of New Jersey Season 8.
Hey!
We're back. It's your Jersey boys here. I'm DJ Richie Scott. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at DJ Richie Scott.
You can find me, it's Russell Ray, by the way. You can find me at Russell Ray Silva across the whole interweb. And tweet us throughout the whole entire segment. Let us know your thoughts. It was a good episode.
It was a good episode. Listen, I don't know who did this show before, but you got to get used to us. So here we are. I just want to let you guys know that we're both Real Housewives fans. Like, we are both super fans.
Absolutely.
Like, we are Take Us to the Clubhouse Andy super fans. So have no fear. We're going to give it to you like only we can. Okay? I just want to say that I wanted to do this show specifically because Danielle Staub is back.
Yes, the prostitution whore is back. I've been waiting so long to say that. Since the teasers have come out, you have no idea.
I think that even watching the trailers, it seems like it was going to be a refreshed season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I thought I was going to miss Jacqueline's crazy, like, behavior, you know, her Twitter sprees, you know, all of her rantings. But I felt like this felt different.
I don't miss Jacqueline.
You don't?
She's forgetful for me. Like, I liked
like
her.
I don't miss her. I'm just saying it feels like a rejuvenated show.
Oh, absolutely. Have you noticed the editing is different too now?
Yeah, it was something. It just felt, I don't know, like they did something good here.
They have thirds for editing. So like they did like this whole like Sex and the City sequence when they were getting ready to go to.
I noticed that. Yeah. I noticed that.
New editing. It's really good.
I'm liking it. And we kind of start off the show on a sad note. Mm-hmm. Because as we will remember, Teresa's mother passed earlier mm-hmm. this year. It was kind of an interesting start to the show. It was kind of like a little prelude.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that? Because I noticed that that was, to me, the first key that this was going to be a different style show.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about that, that opening?
I just think, like, wow, that's two bullets to the chest for Teresa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, that's three bullets to the chest. She was in, you know, prison, and she lost all that time with her mom.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Joe goes, and then now she loses her mom. It's like, you know, like, hopefully that's the end of it, because they say bad things come in threes. So hopefully that's the last thing that's going to happen to her, like, in that sense, you know, because that's just a terrible experience.
It was awful. And at first, I was thinking to myself, like, I don't even know if I could have filmed that. Like, mm-hmm. and I know that, you know, death is a part of life. And I know that once you sign the contract, you sort of have to film what's going on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it does make for a very compelling story to have her back, you know, on the show. But it just seemed like it would have been so difficult. Like, I can't even imagine what that must feel like. So, shout out to Teresa for being able to, like, express and move through that. And shout out to Joe for being so supportive during that whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, and being able to get through filming as well. Because I don't know if I could have done it.
Yeah. You know what? Just the fact that Joe, or, you know, moving past the fact that their mom died.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't even imagine, you know, I was that grandchild who lost my grandparents at a young age, you know, so that's just terrible. I can imagine losing my mom. It's just the tearjerker in itself. But I noticed with the passing of the mom, Joe going to jail, it brings Joe and his dad, and they're connecting a lot better now because, you know, Joe Giudice or Giudice had caused that wedge before.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And now it gives them the opportunity to rebuild. So maybe him being away for now is a good thing. You know, several years in the making, like, it's going to be a strong family bond if she stays with them. You know, we don't know.
Listen, because this is a family that we're talking about, I find it, like, hard to say that it was probably a good thing that he's away. But I feel like, and I don't know if you guys are going to disagree with me or not, but I feel like, you know, and we had the chat up. Just a reminder to you guys. So if you guys are, you know, tuning in, and while we're live, we have you on the chat so we can actually read your messages as they come through. Back to what I was saying about Joe, I feel like it's good that he's away.
Yeah,
I feel like this gives Teresa a time to breathe. And I'm going to jump ahead for a second because I heard Teresa say something that really caught me. And I was just baffled. But then it all kind of made sense. She said that Joe was in prison and he was getting his GED. Mm-hmm. Now, at that point in time, it made sense to me. I was like, this man was running your household and your finances and he didn't even have a high school diploma?
Yep.
Wow.
He's hands-on. I feel like he's hands-on smart. Like, building or whatever it is. You know what I mean? And, like, it's almost like they say, like, anybody can be a manager kind of thing. Like, as long as you have the knack for it. But, like, going into contracts and going into, like, legal agreements and all those things, like...
Business.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that, you know, if you don't have a high school diploma, you can't do it. But it certainly made more sense.
Mm-hmm. It connected the puzzle.
Like, how all of that stuff came to be.
Yeah.
So we get into a little bit of all of the ladies' day-to-day lives. We see Dolores and her ex, Frank, is moving back in.
I love that. I'm all for dysfunction. My family is dysfunctional to the fullest, and this just works in every aspect for me. You have no idea. I'm so excited about this whole, like, situation.
I wasn't expecting that. Let me make a note. Likes dysfunction. Okay. So you think it's... So listen, I'm going to even jump ahead here because we don't learn this until much later. Mm-hmm. But she's in another relationship.
Yep.
Now, I'm just like, how is this man okay with this? Because the ex that's moving back in, I swear he's like a linebacker.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Yeah, and I'm he's like, a real big dude. Wouldn't that be a little bit intimidating?
You know what? For some people, it just works. I've been in that situation. It works. Like, the dysfunction is there. I'm telling you. Some people thrive on this. I'm one of them. It just, when you're in a real cool place, you know, with your, because, you know, I have family that has done this. Mm. If you're in a real good place with your ex, whatever, like husband, fiance, or I would say husband or wife. Okay. I'm not going to say fiance because that would totally discount everything because that's a little off the record. But if you're in a good place with them, they need a place to stay. You have a good bond. There's no sexual tension or interest there. And as long as you don't bring your spouses back to the home, it works.
I don't know. I need y'all to tune in on the chat with that one because I don't know how I would feel about the whole situation. And we see Siggy with her... I had one opinion about Michael in the beginning when I first saw him in the episode. And then later on, I had a different opinion about him. So, you know, I don't remember that much about him from the last season because I don't really feel like they focused on him that much.
Yeah.
But, you know, it seemed like a pretty decent, normal relationship, you know. But I feel like something is off with Siggy. Siggy is
like the biggest mess, and like she don't have no turn down filter. I promise you, she reminds me of the sergeant lady from the Sesame Street, the one that's always giving people lessons. She has the same voice and everything.
I remember her last season kind of almost being the voice of reason. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whose voice she's using right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know. I don't understand. I felt like we were given the tip of the iceberg when she bought all the Penn State memorabilia for her son in his college dorm. And I'm like, he's at the college. He won't need that. Mm-hmm.
Some people, I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I can see if she decorated her office like that, but
maybe her office. You didn't
decorate your dorm like that. I had the Rat Pack in mind, but
exactly.
It had nothing to do with my college.
And then we are led back to Teresa's father's house, and we can tell that it's going to be another sad moment by the music because every time I felt like they showed a scene with Teresa leading, the music changed.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. Exactly. That's how I felt. And we learned that her father wants to sell the family home. That was the point where it kind of hit me that that must be a hard thing to do, this whole situation. Like, I was just like, man, hats off to them. I just felt like they handled it really, really well.
But you know what? At one point, the dad was the sickest person in the family. So he probably never expected to go through this.
Probably.
If I was in his shoes and I was sick like he was, I would have expected to have gone before my wife did. Yeah. So this threw him for a complete,
I'm sure,
180, or at least a 360, you know what I mean? Yeah. So poor guy, like, I wouldn't want to be in that house either.
Yeah. I know that we come upon Melissa next, and we discovered that, you know, she's back at Envy.
Mm-hmm.
And her business partner, Jackie, stole all the clothes.
Yes.
In the middle of the night.
Yep.
Allegedly. And she took them down to Kim D's. Like, why would you do that?
Kim D is the, like she said, Kim D is like the gutter rat. She's the gutter rat that comes out, you know what I mean, when there's something present. And that's what it was. She it always comes back to her. I can't stand Kim D. I don't ever want to meet her.
Okay.
In my whole entire life.
You know, Kim D is to Real Housewives of New Jersey what Marlo is to Real Housewives of Atlanta. So I'm kind of here for Kim D and her presence on the show in the limited capacity that she's in. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She's in it just enough to kind of remain a dark shadow that looms over everybody,
mm-hmm,
but not so much that I can't take her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's just enough. Like, usually towards the end of the season, we'll get a little Kim D action and we're all just repulsed, but it makes for great television.
She's like that cousin that shows up to the family reunion. I'm like, oh, here she comes.
But I miss Kim. Yeah, I miss Kim G.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I really miss Kim G.
She's, yeah, I think she'd be an interesting addition. What is she doing these days?
Because she, I mean, because I kind of feel like she and Margaret are kind of almost the same, but that's just
Margaret is an old lady. I'm sorry.
You know what? Actually,
those pigtails just
okay. We're about to go there. So we are back at Teresa's, and she's getting a delivery of flowers, and it's from Danielle Staub,
mm-hmm,
who is making her grand return, which we are also excited about.
Yes.
And we learn from Gia that she is the one that Teresa flipped the table on,
mm-hmm,
and then we see, and then I. Sometimes I like this and sometimes I don't. The flashback that we never saw,
mm-hmm,
where apparently just weeks prior to, you know, we're treated to a montage of flashbacks with Danielle and Teresa becoming chummy.
Mm-hmm.
Editing. And I guess they did this so that we can tie it all together.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like, I hate a flashback that I have never seen before. Mm-hmm. I don't like that.
It doesn't, like, because it doesn't resonate with anything.
Yeah, it's,
or like a
moment. I like a good callback that we can remember.
So, like the table flip.
Exactly.
Or like the runaround.
Exactly. All that. The hair pull. So anyway, we get to a girls' party because all of the girls come over to Teresa's, and we, mm-hmm, learn that's where Dolores makes the announcement that, hey, Frank's moving back in, and yada, yada, yada. Siggy suggests going to Boca.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad way to introduce a trip. And I will have you guys know that this is probably one of the first franchises that we've had a trip for the first episode.
Episode, yeah.
That's kind of new, and I kind of dig it. I think I dig it.
I like it.
Yeah, it was something kind of fresh.
I'm telling you, the whole thing is, like you said, it's revamped.
Yeah.
The editing and everything is just completely brand new.
Okay, so here we chip away a little bit more at Siggy's sanity because we see her at her book event.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to call it the book event. I called it, in my notes, I wrote soup to nuts because she made a metaphor and I didn't understand it. And I didn't get what the event was for until after her speech, she pulled out the books. And, mm-hmm, I was like, ah, okay, this all makes sense. Because before it just seemed like she was just talking about, like, I mean, I didn't get it.
I thought she was there for plastic surgery because she's always talking about how much surgery she had. And it was like a beauty office. So I was like, oh, okay. She's been talking about Botox,
yes,
or
it was
whatever.
At Prism Med Spa. I wrote that down. No, then we are, I don't know. I want to go, Siggy just, I don't know. I want to know, did you guys notice a change in Siggy? Or is that who she's always been? I mean, please chime in on the chat. I really want to know that. Because I felt something was off.
I think she's the epitome of an Italian woman.
Really?
And I'll tell you why. I'm half Sicilian.
Uh-huh.
And they're loud. They don't stop. They make their presence known. But they have a hard time disagreeing with their husbands. with their spouse in general. Italians in general have issues when you disagree with your spouse because it's supposed to just work.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to just understand what your other person is doing. So for the fact that she wants to branch out and she wants to go on this career path,
okay,
and then this man is throwing her off, it's almost taking a shot at her strength as a woman.
I got to talk about that.
So she don't know how to deal with it.
It was just an odd, like, contrast to how I viewed Michael from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have expected him to say it in the way that he did, because I felt like he just kind of was like, no, this is how it's going to be.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
You're waiting for the comeback from
her. I really was. Yeah. I'm like, and she's just sitting there like... And I'm thinking, did y'all think this? Because I was shocked.
She's beside herself. She doesn't know how to take it.
That blew me away.
Look at how quick at the end of the episode, which we'll get to, at the end of the episode, how quick she was to call out the girls.
Yeah,
she should have been just as quick to call out her man, but it's that old school thing again.
There, at Siggy's event, we meet the Margaret Josephs, who I kind of like her.
Margaret? Oh, Lord! Not with that hair. Not with that hair.
She reminds me of what's her name from Golden Girls? The mom.
I can't with you. I can't.
Not in a bad way. I mean that in a good way. I do. And I was really living for her giant fur and her confessional that I felt like was going to devour her face. I was loving it. I like her. She's kind of gaudy. She's kind of like fresh. She speaks her mind. I like it. She's kind of no nonsense.
You know what? You know who she reminds me of?
Who?
She's the Jersey version of Vicky Gungelson, but just quieter.
Ooh.
She kind of dresses like an old lady, but she's not really an old lady. But she throws the 1-2 punches out there, but she really won't go head to head with nobody unless she probably has to, which we'll probably see that erupt later on in the season.
Exactly. I feel like it's, I can see it happening right now. So then we get the ladies packing, we get the whole montage, which we all love because we love when they pack and go on these trips. They arrive in Boca to the presidential suite. They're not staying at Siggy's house because she can't be bothered with cleaning up after these chicks.
She don't want to. Yeah, she's like, I'm not dealing with that. She's like, not today.
And then we actually learn a little bit more about Margaret's backstory. And I wrote that she has the best backstory. And then I wrote Scandal. Because she ran away with the contractor.
I wrote Nasty. She was married. He was married. They're both married. Like,
you said you love dysfunction.
That's not dysfunction. That's betrayal. Is what that is.
That is dysfunction.
She took vows.
Finest.
No, she. So how does that go down? Like, he comes to the house like, oh, you want to go on a date later when my husband goes to work? Like, you want to do this? Like, what's your wife up to? Like, let's plan this. What are their work schedules like? Because you're at the house with me alone working on this house while I'm doing my job. My man's gone.
I feel like that's how it usually happens.
Nasty.
You say nasty, I say classic. Anyway, as she's introduced to the girls, Teresa slyly asks her, are you really a blonde? Like, who says that upon meeting somebody that like, is that your real hair, Caroline? Like, who says that? And Margaret has the best comeback, and she says, I don't want to pull my pants down just yet.
She has some good puns.
I was like, yes, go, Margaret. Come on with your fur. So this is really when I wrote WTF with Siggy. It's when they got to New York Prime,
mm-hmm.
and she went bananas. Okay? Exactly. She went bananas.
Yeah.
This is where I started to say, who is this woman? Like, I've been to places where I knew everybody,
mm-hmm.
and I will go and speak to them, but not like that. I felt like she was amped up on something.
That's normal.
It's normal.
That is normal. And
that's how you walk into a restaurant?
If there's people that I know there, I'm like, what's up? Hey!
You know, okay, maybe. Like,
and then I just tell everybody, sit down, I'll be right back. I'll handle this.
A bar. Not a restaurant. I cannot see myself walking into the pump and doing that.
I could do that at Pump. I couldn't do it at Mastro's.
it's just not classy.
No, my, you want to know my favorite part about that whole night was?
When she stole the plate? She was so sorry.
She's like, here, 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 take this right there.
Like, she stole some. She stole somebody's plate off their. Okay, I can't.
She came in like a family reunion. She just everybody was sharing.
That's what it felt like. I felt like she had invited everybody there that she knew and was like, you know what, guys, I just want you guys to be here. I need some support, and then I'm gonna like really show out tonight.
Yeah.
Five seconds later, she's breaking down because Michael wants her to stop working so much. I was like, in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, if she working, she contributed.
Yep.
I like it. Don't stop working, girl. What I kind of didn't like was that she says, but Teresa can't stop working. It was kind of like a little bit of a jab to me.
Underscore shade?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, really?
Yeah. Like, you want to go there right now? Because
I didn't like it. I didn't like it one bit.
Maybe in her mind, she did it because she's trying to get herself to Teresa's level.
Ooh.
Because her man's trying to subtract her from that level. So it's like, well, Teresa can't stop working. You know what I mean? Like, maybe she meant it as a compliment. Like, you don't have a choice, and I have this choice, and I still want to work as hard as you do. Because you're every woman, I'm every woman. Shaka Khan.
It might have been well intended, but it didn't seem well received.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was just kind of like, girl, really? Go grab somebody else's plate. So we also, next we get to Melissa's birthday. It's the morning of her birthday. She's FaceTiming with Joe. He's talking about masturbation. This is nothing new.
Tarzan.
Teresa checks in. We learn that Gia can't see, courtesy of her father.
Wait, Gia for a second? She is the total teenager. Like, she needs to get slapped around a couple times.
She really was, like, not here for anything.
Always rolling her eyes. Okay. So then she tells her mom she needs a large. Because Teresa's like, it's a medium. Whose mother is a medium? Not where I was raised. No one that I knew's mother was a medium. Okay?
I mean, she does yoga. Namaste.
You ain't a lady until you're 280.
Boop.
Ain't that fine until you're 349.
We also learned that Dolores' son, Frankie... Is he a model or something?
I think that was a plug.
Because I was like, did y'all just show us like a headshot or something like that? You trying to get him some gigs?
I promise you that was the plug.
I think so. Well, regardless, he could be a model because he ain't turning in those college applications.
Mm-hmm.
We know that much. And so Frank is going to have to deal with that.
How do you feel about that?
That he's not turning in his applications?
But his dad hasn't been around that long. He's going to come back and then call the shots when he's the one that's had to hold it down with his mom and his sister.
Well, in this situation, this is where the grounded person in me has to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like you might have to be the man of the house, but you also still have to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a responsibility. And a man doesn't skirt around his responsibilities, and he's too young to know that.
Okay.
That's what I feel about that situation. But if college don't work out, I mean, Wilhelmina might be calling.
I don't like the fact that he had to have someone on top of him to turn in his applications. You're old enough.
Exactly. That was my thought too. Like, what? Like, you just don't want to go.
That's like saying, put your pants on. They should already be on. You're old enough.
Okay. So then we finally get to breakfast, and Danielle finally makes her return, and this is where we see all of those flashbacks again,
mm-hmm.
where we didn't see them earlier in the episode when they could have shown them, right?
Right.
You could have connected the dots a little bit better, editing person. We learned that she's had a housewarming, and all the ladies were invited, because I was like, when she first walked onto the scene, I was like...
How did she get there? Andy must have did a great job. Like,
like what?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, Andy did this.
The uninvited,
mm-hmm.
clearly. But they give us the backstory, so it's fine. Then she says, we got a lot of things we need to talk about. And so then she wants to talk about Kim D, of course. And this whole thing with Kim D's car being registered, like a car that was registered in her name. Mm-hmm. And then she has... The car has burnt to a crisp or something, and there were victims inside, mm-hmm. and she thought it was her son. I don't know why this was brought up, but it was, and we are reminded that Kim has kids.
It was a murder. Well, the thing was, it was a murder.
It was.
It was a murder. It was a murder. If I'm quoting this correctly, because I was at TMZ at the time, it was a murder, and it was a deal went bad or something like that, and her son got dropped off at the airport, so he was gone. He told his friends not to take his car, and his friends took his car, and that's when they got killed. The car got burned along with them to burn all the evidence, and the question was, were they really aiming for Kim D's son, but they didn't get him. They just got the people inside the car because it was his ownership.
This is deadly. Mm-hmm. We have a question in the chat that says, why didn't Jacqueline return? Apparently, she was offered a friend role, and she said, hell to the no. So, there's she's the not no inside chick.
One. You know what? Someone had a good question earlier, too. Yeah. They said, is Joe still getting deported?
I think that's still undetermined.
On the table.
Right? Because he can't even get into the alcohol treatment program, I think, from what I was doing my research. So stay tuned because we'll have more information on that.
Yes.
But side note, I mean, Teresa can do better. I'm just saying. That's all I got to say about that. Then we learned that, see, this is something, this is where I kind of felt like, you know, I kind of had respect for Siggy, but I kind of didn't at this moment, where she kind of, at that point, mentioned, after all these ladies are kind of, like, going in on Kim D, she kind of mentions, well, she's still my friend. Now, listen, she got to be a mighty, mighty good friend, knowing the history with all of these ladies that you are friends with. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to bring her up, unless she's my best friend. You know what I'm saying? She got to be my road dog in order for me to be like, no, that's my friend. Y'all not going to talk about this person around me.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Got to be my best friend for that. Because otherwise, I'm like, let me stay out of this.
I think it was just showing backbone. Okay. Because how many times do you see someone just kind of like slip under the radar as everyone's talking about someone? Okay. But like, you would be a coward if you're going to let that person, if she would have been a coward if she's going to let them talk about her, and then she's going to go end up and chum it up like 2 weeks later with her at Posh.
You might have a point about that.
So she was damned if she did and she's damned if she didn't. Because she had to do it. Because if not, she would have been fake.
Interesting. I think that this is one of those moments that is going to speak to Siggy's stance throughout the season. Mm-hmm. Maybe, and then Melissa's stance throughout the season. Maybe
she's
going
to go Kim D's side. And she's going to branch off from the girls. We shall see.
She's probably the one who gave Kim D that information that Melissa was a stripper back in the day. Kidding. Just kidding.
We still want to be on the show, Andy.
All right. So then the ladies have like a little yacht trip around Boca. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was pretty nice. Adriana calls crying. My heart kind of broke during the episode. Yeah, I was just kind of like, I can't, like, it's just, again, we're reminded of everything that Teresa's going through while she's actually trying to, you know, enjoy a vacation. You know, she still has to deal with that. So her thoughts are still going to be at home. So that's understandable. Then we get to Melissa's birthday dinner, which should have been a very fun night.
There was underlying shade there the whole time.
There was a lot of shade at that table. And actually, I felt like it was warranted. Mm-hmm. I did. I personally felt like it was warranted. You know, I'm not on the not liking Siggy train, because I actually like her. Mm-hmm. She's entertaining to me. But I do feel like some of the things that she says, I just don't understand. Like, saying that she's the most talented person in the world. Now, listen, I get it. We all should think highly of ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know, soup to nuts, as she says. Like, I think I'm a great person, too. But
I still don't get soup
to nuts. I don't get it either.
I'm going to use it. I'm going to use that later, and I'm going to see who takes it and how they take it. Like, how was your day, soup to nuts? I'm going to use it in every different situation to see which one it works best at.
And Melissa is again like, no, you're not. I'm loving Melissa's shade. because I feel like it's confessional shade. It's not, I'm not saying it to your face yet, shade. Mm-hmm. I kind of dig it.
It's release. I mean, she was very adamant about making Teresa known as a troublemaker with her bachelorette party, because she talks about her bachelorette party and how Teresa ran back to Joe, her brother, and told her, Joe, Melissa was dancing on this guy all night long. Everybody knows what goes down at a bachelorette party. You do not speak about it. You leave it there at the door, because everybody knows between a bachelor party and a bachelorette party, some shady stuff is going down. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So you don't talk about it, because it's the last hurrah. That's it. And then you got to be loyal.
Well, you know, because Joey is a real man, you know, he's going to get jealous about those types of things.
That's why you don't tell him.
So this is where we get into a discussion about each other's men. And that goes south. Because for Siggy, she believes that a man should be a man, like a wussy and not a pussy. That's what she said. So Margaret, on the other hand, is kind of like, if my man told me that I needed to sit my butt at home, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I kind of got that. I was like, I mean, if you're a successful woman, you're a relationship coach, you're out there helping. Like, clearly, Siggy gets a high from helping people.
Yeah.
That much we can probably all agree with.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you kind of dim your light for somebody, like, that's not cool.
It's not, but you know what? You have to get on your feet, and you have to stick up for yourself, or if not, you got to be able to walk away and call it a day.
Absolutely. I just want to actually make another note about Margaret and her pot puss.
I have that quote.
Because does anybody else use this? I mean, if you do, please let us know in the chat, because I've never heard of this before.
Pot puss. The first thing I thought about was poppers.
That's what I thought she was talking about. I was like, are she going there? Like, I'm like,
okay, you sniff poppers too. I mean, I only hear about that in West Hollywood, but we can hear about it on
exactly. I didn't want to say that, but I was like, girl, what you doing?
Are you kidding me? There's at every single store in West Hollywood, you can find poppers everywhere.
I just feel like, isn't that like sniffing a magic marker or something? I have no idea. Listen, but what I do know is that Margaret has no qualms about putting it out there, and I am totally here for that.
I'm for that, too.
So we get to the main event of the night. You know, Siggy brings out a cake, and she's really, really excited about this birthday cake.
It's a beautiful cake. It is a beautiful cake, actually. There's a lot of work into that.
It's a beautiful cake. I don't know if she made it, but it's a beautiful cake. Yeah. Somebody made it. So they put some time and effort into it. And, you know, I get that, you know, if you say, I'm going to plan a nice evening and I'm going to, you know, bring out a nice little cake for everybody. And, you know, I really want to celebrate this person. You know, when Teresa and Melissa start joking and they have the little cake fight, and then, listen, okay, a little bit of cake would have been fine.
Just like but the
Teresa
top tier.
Grabs the entire cake and tosses it.
The base tier.
I was like, oh my God.
And that cake looked good too. I was like, oh, there's strawberries. It was like, it looks real bomb.
Now, while it looked good, I don't. Siggy was upset.
Siggy was pissed.
She was on 10.
Yes.
And I was thinking to myself, would I have been that upset?
Yeah. Think about it. You go through all the trouble to get this cake made, right? That's a lot of work just to get it made. Not necessarily, you don't have to do no hands-on work, but you have to find, you have to get the wallpaper, pictures of it. You got to make sure that this person creates it correctly. She totally got the scope of Melissa in that cake itself. And so I did cakes at one point for a bakery, and a simple cake takes like 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. This is fondant with edible pearls and shapes and imprinting and all kinds of stuff. That cake must have taken about 3-4 hours. Easy. Mm. So to destroy it, like, in... I would say, because editing toned it down a little bit, probably got destroyed within 30 minutes.
Interesting.
That's crazy.
So to really kind of put the nail on the coffin, we get an inkling of a battle royale to come, because... Exactly. Yes. Margaret's kind of like, girl, like... take it down a notch,
mm-hmm.
as she's been wanting to say to Siggy all night long.
Mm-hmm.
And Siggy's not here for it, not one bit.
There's not, and there was a flash forward of what's to come and how she, or how Siggy checks her or tries to check her. Because I don't know, I think she might be able to hold her own.
This is going to be interesting because, you know, we haven't really seen the side of Siggy.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't even just scrapped the surface with Margaret. So I'm interested to see how this plays out. Particularly, I'm interested to see who Siggy is going to end up being mad at. I have a feeling she's going to end up being more mad at Melissa than she is Teresa. And Teresa's the one who threw the cake. That's just my prediction.
Okay.
Because if you're going to be mad at somebody, be mad at the person that threw the actual cake on the ground.
Yeah.
And that was Teresa.
I don't know.
But I feel like she's going to play her cards right and take it out on Melissa instead. Watch.
Everyone always takes it out on Melissa.
Exactly.
They always take it out on Melissa. Poor girl.
Listen.
Take it out on Danielle again. She okay. can take it. She can take it. She took a lot the first time around.
That is going to like wrap us up for tonight. You guys tune in with us next week. Make sure you guys leave comments. Make sure you guys rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
Absolutely.
See us next week. We'll be right here with episode 2. I am your boy, DJ Richie Sky. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at DJ Richie Sky.
And I'm Russell Ray. You can find me across the whole interweb at Russell Ray Silva. That's 2 S's, 2 L's, not 1, because you'll get some weirdo. I don't know. But find me, get at me. I want to talk to you guys about next week and this week.
See you guys later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.